I hope you all know how nervous I am because this is not my forte. I don't speak to groups. I teach little groups. So, but you know what? I know that I am amongst friends, and my friend over here said she was going to remind me that all I have to do is look out and all of you are all naked, and then I'd be okay. So I thank all of you for being here, trying to follow these phenomenal speakers that we've had these last 3 days. And I'm a beginner, so, oh my goodness, Rhea is probably, you know, I heard Rhea's talk 5 years ago. I heard it again today, and I could hear it every year and still get more and more out of her talk. So I honor you, Rhea. You're such an excellent teacher. But I wanted to tell you something about the person who introduced me, Barbara. When Keith and I came to the Crystal Cathedral and became members, we were from 27 years of being a Catholics, and Barbara was our elder. And the first time she called me and asked if I had a prayer request or anything that she could pray for me, I was completely blown away. In 27 years, I'd never had a priest or a member of the church call me and ask me that. So Barbara was our elder, and we were so blessed by her. And then Keith and I are lead elders now at the church. And I have finished my commissioned pastor's class and hope to be commissioned in the missions work someday, soon. But first and foremost, I have 3 years, 10 months, and 14 days left of working at Disney. So you're saying, what does this have to do with the seminar that we're going to of care and kindness? Most of you, how many of you have ever worked at Disney? I find this to be amazing. One, you know, Craig worked at Disney. And he gave me a lot of encouragement, and I really appreciated that. So if you went on the website that talked about care and kindness before you signed up, Dr. Koch had these 5 key essentials for care and kindness. And I just want to review those with you. If you didn't have a chance to go to the website and see these, I just want to review these with you. Everyone needs my encouragement and support to be noticed personally and respectfully by me. I have the capacities, qualities, and abilities that can brighten another one's life or help them to face tough challenges. Caring kindness, whether it's my smile, a word of thanks, a visit, or treating another fairly, builds hope in that person's heart and opens them up to God's love. Caring kindness toward each other, one another, is caring kindness to our Lord. Caring kindness is infectious, and we all can catch it. So how do we take the Disney philosophy and their mantra of guest service to answer each of these points? And where does the pixie dust come in? Well, I hope that you're able to feel some of the pixie dust while I'm trying to share this with you today. Walt Disney stated in the very beginning, employees are the most important.
Wait a minute. I'm coming in here to do your work for you.
I told you I'd hand it to you, baby. Do you know he's the love of my life? He's the pixie dust, really. He's the love of my life. My best friend. Walt Disney stated in the very beginning, employees are the most important asset to any company. He said that before Disneyland was built, and he taught that and he emulated that. So one of the things that you learn when you come to Disney is that we have a completely different nomenclature. And one of the things I forgot to get out of my purse, but while you're looking at these words, I want you to come up with, what do these words actually relate to and what do we use instead of those words? Now, this gentleman gave me a nice big marker that's in the bottom of my purse, and how many ladies have to dig at the bottom of the purse? And those who answer the question first have a prize that my husband's supposed to be up on his feet getting ready to give to you if you answer first. Okay, so
when do I get to sit down?
You don't. Here's the Disney nomenclature. So what do we call an employee?
Cast.
Who was that? That was Pete. Pete's trying to get a referral card again. I know. We actually call them cast members. Now, while you're thinking about this, think how this would make you feel if you went to your job as a nurse or working in an office or a teacher or whatever. If you weren't called an employee, but you were called a cast member. You know? Okay, what do we call our customers?
Yes.
Yes.
Before you get to cast, you know that Disney was the leader in that, but there are many, many corporations now that are doing a similar thing, and they're calling their employees associates.
Yeah. I like cast members. It's a lot more fun.
Distinguish the levels, you know.
So customer is guest, and we have a winner there. She tried to beat Pete out the last time, but she didn't. So if you had to go to your work and you had to put on a uniform, what would was that you back there? The lady in purple that came up with costume first?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got to put on a costume instead of a uniform, wouldn't that make you feel a lot better about having to wear something? Look at the neat costumes that we have at the park. One of my jobs at the park was I was supported the vice president costume design and development. And she was just a phenomenal, phenomenal lady and so innovative and so unique. So we call them costumes. We don't call them uniforms. Now many of you have gone home after going to Disneyland and can't wait to tell somebody about Pirates of the Caribbean or maybe about Splash Mountain where you got soaked and you called it a ride, but we don't call anything at Disneyland a ride or a show. What do we call it?
Attraction.
I think you were the first one. The lady in the white blouse? To Disneyland to get a job and you were called back for an interview, what do we call it? We don't call it an interview. Think about cast member. Audition. Who said audition? This lady right over here said audition. Wouldn't it be a lot more fun to go for an audition than a job interview? Now these next ones are pretty easy, so if you know the answer, raise your hand so I get the right person. What do we call our guest areas?
Park?
Nope. Now think again.
Lobby.
No. Cast member? Costumes?
Stage.
Rhea got it. On stage. We're on stage. What's more important to refer to a job? Instead of a job, what is it?
Career.
No?
Position.
Role. Wouldn't it be a lot more fun to be able to say, my role at my job, or my role is a teacher, or my role is a cashier, or my role... You know, that just makes your job just a little bit more exciting. So, I know this is going to be easy. If you're you're behind the scenes,
backstage.
Backstage. Hey, Sharon got it. She had it. Backstage. Hey, you don't get to sit down yet.
When's my coffee break start?
Not for another 45 minutes. So we have one more prize, one more question. Are people from Michigan, you try a little bit harder. And thinking about how each of these words resonate with you, you know, we have guest research going on all of the time. And ever since we opened our gates at Disneyland and opened up all of the parks, the number one reason that guests say that they come back again and again is what?
Smile, cleanliness,
friendliness.
They don't make you feel
important.
Service.
They
don't make you feel important.
Smiles.
Pixie dust.
Personal.
It's basically personal attention, they say, the cast members. They say, if they don't know the terminology, the cast members, they say the reason they come back is that they are honored and they are served by the cast members. And it doesn't matter when we take this survey, that's always the number one reason. So, honey, this lady back here with the turquoise dress, she gets a prize.
And there's three right there.
So Michael Eisner was our leader for over 20 years, and he was a great leader for us. He burned out like the rest of us do, like I will be in 3 months, or 3 years and 10 months and 15 days. Nothing so visibly defines Disney's park as the warmth and commitment of our cast members over the years and the appreciation that guests feel for the way that they are treated. It's in two or three of his books about him and that he has been part of. So what happens when you get a job at Disneyland? When you get that role? What happens on your very first day?
Orientation.
Orientation. But you know what? At our orientation, it might take 2 or 3 days. Because before you're even given orientation on the job that you're going to do, you go through a period of learning about the traditions and the heritage that you're getting ready to embark upon. You learn about the history. You see movies about Walt Disney, not when he just started the parks, but back when he invented Mickey Mouse. You see everything that they can possibly show you and cram into you in a couple of short days. You go on tours, you see the backstage areas, you see how the magic is put together. And then you go on stage and you learn about the magic that you see in the guests. And your leaders, or your leads is what we call them, they try to emulate everything that they want you to see. They try to take care of the guests even while they're teaching you. So they're setting that example. So that's generally the first day, the tours and the heritage. And what does that do? It instills pride in you. You know, I can remember my very first day, long time ago, 19 plus years, and I had quit my previous job, and so I had a week there with no income, and I had 4 kids, and this was before I married this wonderful man. And all I could think of was, my gosh, I hope I'm getting paid for this. You know, we were having so much fun. I didn't know for sure if I was going to get paid for it, and I really needed that one day to start getting paid. And I went through 2 days like that, and I really wasn't for sure, and I was a little scared to ask, will I get paid for this? Because they might say no, you know. But at Disneyland, we have our leaders. Right now, we have Ed Greer. We had Matt Wiemet, and I probably got closest to Matt. Right now, just to give you a little bit of a history, right now I'm supporting the Vice President of Business Insight and Improvement. So I'm not there out there amongst the guests unless there's a press event that I need to be called out for, or unless we're doing cross training. I'm backstage all of the time. But Ed Greer, all of the presidents that we have had since I've started, they try to go out into the park every single day. They're not going out to catch somebody. They're going out to shake the hands of the cast. They're going out to encourage the cast. If there's paper on the floor or there's popcorn spilt, they're there to help clean it up. They're not so far above us that they're not willing to do exactly what the rest of us have to do. So they set the example. And at Disney, we get special recognition. When I first started at the resort, I started at the hotel. And this was about a year and a half after the hotels were acquired by Disney. And Disneyland wasn't ready to share the recognition awards that they gave to their cast members. The hotels were kind of stepchildren, so we had to come up with our own recognition. And so we came up with the Dream Pin, and it was a little Mickey Mouse, and it said Dream on it, and we got to wear it on our name tags. The Dream, you know, everything is an acronym for something. Disney Resort Experiences Are Magical. So everyone got the little silver Dream Pin when they started working at the hotels. But what you wanted to work for was to get a gold Dream Pin. Fortunately, and I can't even tell you, I can't even remember what it was that I was nominated for, but I was honored with the gold Dream Pin. It wasn't monetary. They didn't give me a big bonus. They came in, my vice president came in with a cake and blue and gold balloons and singing and bringing this cake to me. And then I was in the newspaper, and then we had a luncheon for everybody that got the gold Dream Pin for that quarter. It was so much excitement. A couple of years later, they decided that the hotels really were part of the resort, so we got to be part of the Spirit Award. You're nominated by your fellow cast members. Then it goes to a group who analyze why you were nominated. Was it worthy of the award? Then it goes back to your supervisor, your main supervisor, for them to review it. Do you have any flaws on your record? Are you on time? Are you responsible? Did you really earn this award? And then it goes back for the higher up. My immediate boss is a vice president, but then it goes to the higher-ups for them to make the final determination. It's a big deal. And in 1994, I got the Spirit Award, and that was so exciting, and then to go to the Spirit Award dinner. But those are little recognitions. We also have a small recognition. It's the Guest Service Fanatic that Barbara and Keith are going to pass out just a sample for you to look at. And this is just a little way. Let's say that somebody that I'm working with was working on a project in PowerPoint or Excel, and maybe I was able to help them figure out how to do something in a software program. Well, that person could write out a Guest Service Fanatic Award. And you take that, and you have to have your boss sign it. So then your boss knows that you're being recognized by your peers, and your boss knows that you're doing something good. And then if you notice, these are in two parts. So you take it apart and you send part of it to our team center. And at the end of the month, they have all kinds of little gifts. Maybe it's two tickets to the movie theater, or tickets to the Ducks, or maybe tickets to the Angels game. And they draw out from all of the ones that have been nominated, and so that they get even more of an award. Would you get some over there to Judy and Cynthia and over here? So this is just a little way that we can recognize one another. We also have the different tickets and opportunities, you know, that. And I don't want all of you to converge upon me, but, you know, we can sign people into the park. We can do that for our relatives and our friends. And those are just a few of the few things that our company does to recognize us for a good job. So what's the end result of a cast member who's gone through a year of Disney indoctrination. There's acceptance and continual spreading of the same philosophy to other cast members. The cast member recruits others just exactly like themselves, because you don't hang around people that you don't enjoy being with. So what do? You want those people that you enjoy being with working where you are. And believe it or not, if we refer someone and that person works for more than 3 months at the park, we get paid in money. In money. It also develops pride in the employer as well as in the community that we support. And how does this show? It shows in the way the cast member takes care of each and every guest. The cast member encourages, back to our five key essentials, our fellow cast members. The cast member supports their fellow cast members. The cast member notices and respects and honors the guests that come through the gate, as we know that it's each and every guest who must enjoy their experience enough to go home and share it, and they must find happiness because that's what Disney promises. We're the happiest place on earth. And most important, that they leave with wonderful memories that they can share with their children for the rest of their lives. That is the only way that we can make sure that there's another guest coming into the park. Help us keep our jobs. Number two, I have the capacities, qualities, and abilities that can brighten another's life or to help them face tough challenges. Opportunities to discover. You know, with Disney, diversity is the capital D. And so what does this mean to you? This is how we do diversity. He's so good. The company supports and encourages diverse groups. And the cast members are the ones who decide what diverse groups will actually be supported by the company. And when I say supported, once we have been able to present a business plan as to the importance of, can you not see, Judy? Oh, you're okay. Once the company receives the business plan and realizes that this is a group that the cast want and this is why they want this diverse group, the company provides them with an executive champion that helps them do their business plan, helps them plan their meetings, make sure that the meetings will benefit the cast members, even provides them with a budget so that they have money for refreshments, so that they have money perhaps to bring in speakers. And these are all of the diverse groups that we currently have. OLA and Pride were with us for the last 3 years. This year we added three more. OLA is self-explanatory, Hispanic Organization for Leadership Advancement. We have 10% of our cast who speak no English. It's important for them to have a voice of learning what can they do to get advancement at our company. Pride is people respecting individual diversities in everyone. Pride is our gay and lesbian organization. They are very, very strong at Disneyland, and they receive respect and recognition. This year we added four more, the Castables. Cast appreciating, supporting, teaching, ability, better living, and equality. We have a huge number of our cast that are disabled. Then we have Compass, community of Pacific Islanders, Asians, and allies. We have Pulse, people united to lead, serve, and excel. All of those are really great acronyms, but I belong to the families group. You know, every one of you here belongs to a family. And I was so supportive and I helped to develop the family's program. And it isn't an acronym for anything. It's just Disney families helping Disney families. Because, you know, we all need to develop a work-style balance. We've got work, we've got families. We're always having problems with our families as it relates to our work. So with, now we've only been in existence about 4 months now, but we've had a speaker that talked about the taking care of your parents, your aged parents, and what challenges you might have. We've had a speaker come and talk to us about being foster parents and what that means and what the challenges would be. And also somebody that talked about adoption. So these are some of the things that we do in our families, organizations. I have not attended the other ones, but I understand each of them supports the group in those areas that they need support. And so this is one of the ways that our company encourages the diverse groups. And what does that do? Because by working with the diverse groups that we have at Disneyland, it helps our cast to be able to understand, appreciate, and most importantly, accept other diverse groups. How many of you have gone to see the Aladdin show at Disney's California Adventure? A few of you. It is a phenomenal show. If you didn't know it, it was a Broadway production. We brought in a director from New York. We brought in a costume designer from New York, and that show is phenomenal. But you know what the best thing, and I don't know when you last saw it, but in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been one cast member that has been absolutely outstanding in the effect that that cast member has had on everybody. And she sings, and she dances, and she's in a wheelchair. What do you think that does for guests who come and see that show who are disabled? Doesn't matter if they're in a wheelchair. How do you think that makes them feel about what they might be capable of? But it also gives inspiration to the rest of us as well. I've seen that show probably 6 or 7 times. And I always go to see if that girl is still doing it. And she is. And she moves that wheelchair just about as fast as those dancers can move around there. So how does this affect you in your everyday life? How often have you left your home and thought to yourself, what is that? Oh, sorry. How often have you left your home and thought to yourself, I have the capacity, the quality, and the ability to brighten another's life, and I can help them face tough challenges at the office, on my drive to work, as I go to the grocery store, as I pump gasoline in my car, as I greet my spouse or my children after I've come home from a hard day at work? Do you come in and you greet your spouse with a big smile? Guest service?
I'm just part of the cast.
If you go out and pick up your newspaper in the morning and you see your neighbor next to you picking up their newspaper, do you take the time to greet them? You see, it's all about turning the focus from ourselves onto those that are around us. And having these support groups helps all of us to discover what their qualities are and what their abilities to face tough challenges. But what does it mean to you? Perhaps you don't have a large company or a support group. Maybe you're a domestic engineer. That is hard work, girls. So you don't have this support group to help you uncover your own abilities and your qualities and your capacity that you have to brighten someone else's life. So what do? You begin by attending the Care and Kindness conferences. You begin by being a New Hope counselor, which, by the way, Barbara has been for 40 years, the longest New Hope counselor. Since day one, am I not proud that she introduced me? Let me tell you. You begin by making yourself part of the church family, not just someone who comes to church on Sunday morning and goes home. You immerse yourself in everything that the church does. You volunteer for everything that you have time to do. And in doing this, you discover your own capacities, your own special qualities, and the abilities that our Lord has bestowed upon you by the Holy Spirit to give back what you have been given.
I go on overtime.
Caring kindness, whether it's my smile, a word of thanks, a visit, or treating another fairly, builds hope in that person's heart and opens them to God's love. At Disney, fulfilling the standard of caring kindness means more than simply treating people the way we want to be treated. It means treating them the way they want to be treated. There's a big difference. They want to be treated with recognition, respect for their emotions and their abilities and their cultures. Disney takes care and kindness to even a higher level. Our cast is taught about the different cultures. You will never see a cast member point to that place or this place. They will point this way, because using one finger is very disrespectful in many, many cultures. Most of the time, you will see cast members, when they approach our Asian brothers and sisters, they will nod. That's a sign of respect. These are the different things. It's a performance culture of behaviors and mannerisms and terms that are taught to all of our new cast members as they enter each of their job locations, especially those who work on stage. This kind of service means to analyze the experience from the guest's perspective, understanding the needs and the wants of the guests, and committing every element of the business, from the design of the attractions to the infrastructure, to the interaction between the guest and the cast, to the creation of an exceptional guest experience. You know, there's hundreds of cast members who are taught to be research people. If you've come to the park and someone has approached you and they have on navy blue pants and a red shirt and they look like they're outfitted to maybe go to the outer worlds because they have this computer kind of tied around them and they have a thing on their arm and you are on your way to Space Mountain and you want to be the first one in line and they say, "Can I ask you a few questions?" And you really don't want to answer their questions. You want to get on to where you're going in the park. You want to... What are you asking me questions? I've just arrived. This is the only way that we can find out where you're from, why you came. What's been your experience so far? Was the ticket taker good to you? Nice? Smiling at you? Where might we be falling down? What's going to make the experience better for you? These guys have a hard job. I did cross training in this research area, and it is hard. Because people are rude. They are rude. They want to get to their Splash Mountain. They don't want to be interrupted or slowed down. But this is what makes our guest service just a little bit higher. How do other businesses and individuals use our Mickey Mouse philosophy? Well, you know, the Disney Institute was born. And many of you think, well, that was just another money-making thing for Disney to come up with. Not really. It wasn't our idea. We had daily, constant phone calls from every line of business that you can think of asking, what do you teach? How do you teach it? What do you do? Can you teach us? Can we come and learn? Can we go to your orientations? Can we go to your traditions? Now, we do limit it. We don't teach any employees from Six Flags Magic Mountain. And we don't teach to Universal Studios. And we don't teach to the Hilton or the Hyatt. But we do offer these classes. They cost $3,500 for 3 days, and you pay transportation, hotel, food, lodging. Or if you have 10 people who want to take a class, a three-hour class, it'll cost you $350 per person. Now you know why Jim Koch got me. I'm free. But how do different businesses use this? Well, I picked just a couple of examples. A hospital in Pennsylvania that attended the Disney Institute wanted to break away from the stereotypical image that people have formed about healthcare organizations. And we all have an opinion about healthcare organizations. So they adopted as their service theme, all hospitals are not alike. And they developed this while they were at the Disney Institute. And then they brainstormed a little bit further so that they could come up with a service promise, a commitment that every employee would make. And their service promise is, I promise to listen. Does this sound like Jim Koch might have been involved in this? Understand, respond with the highest standards of healthcare service and personal respect. The Disney Institute has trained people from every facet of business. Private colleges, universities, insurance and service industries, the banking industry. Maybe the banking industry needs to go back. They've sent employees, managers, vice presidents, directors, all to learn the Disney formula for guest service. Pastor Koch kind of related a little bit when, if you went to this last, in the Freed Theater. But he shared this story with us the other night, and I actually found it kind of sad that a pastor sent some of the leaders of his church to the Disney Institute to learn how we give guest service. Isn't that a little bit backward? I mean, it's the Bible. It's the Bible that teaches us. It's our pastors that teach us. I just felt that it was just a little sad that they would come to a secular company, and we are a secular company, to learn what we should be learning in our churches every single day. Every business, every individual can benefit from the type of guest service that Disney does. I don't know how many of you are members of the Crystal Cathedral, but we have been so blessed to have Pastor Jim Poit. And he related a story to us. Now, Pastor Jim and his family are what we call Disney-files. They all have annual passports. Jim and Linda will come over to the park and have lunch on a Friday by themselves. Maybe not even take an attraction, but just come over and enjoy that. But what Pastor Jim does is he studies what's going on. He studies how the cast members are interacting with the guests. It's very important to him because when he was a pastor at a real large Christian-based youth camp in Michigan, maybe some of you remember this story that he told us at an evening service, he and the director got together to analyze what could they do to make their camp just a little bit better. And they decided to analyze it the same way that Walt Disney analyzed the parks, to say, okay, what would Disney do about how the campers are greeted when they drive up? What would Disney do to make the children feel like they were going to be taken care of and make the parents feel that it was going to be a safe environment for their children? And they took every point, every aspect of the camp, and they analyzed it in that way. What would Disney do? And, you know, we can do that ourselves. We can think about how we treat other people or how we work in our businesses or how we interact with our coworkers. And we can say, would this go on at Disneyland, the happiest place on earth? We can all recall an experience that touched us in some way. An exceptional waitress. How about those smiling greeters at Walmart? They're all of our senior citizens, but I just love them. They come out with our baskets. How about a driver that made your lane change easier or gave you the right of way when you knew you were in the wrong? Can you remember those times? Okay, but more importantly, can you remember when you were exceptionally nice to the waitress? Can you remember when you thanked the greeter at Walmart for being there and handing you your cart and making your day just a little bit nicer? And can you remember when you allowed that driver that was driving pretty crazy to cut in front of you without getting angry or perturbed? So I bet you when you saw this number 4, caring kindness toward another is caring kindness to the Lord, I bet you thought, you might find that this one is a little hard to find pixie dust and compare a secular company with what we do and we believe as Christians. But let me tell you a couple of little stories about my company, and maybe you'll begin to feel a little bit of the pixie dust that I feel. Caring kindness, I think, was the foundation of our company. If you were a young animator at the Disney Company in 1931, there is a good chance that several nights a week, Walt Disney himself would chauffeur you and a group of your colleagues to Los Angeles for company-paid classes at the Chouinard Art Institute. Later, Walt hired one of those instructors and brought him to the studios so that the animators didn't have to drive to go to those classes. Today, we have over 500 classes that we can take, and they don't all relate to our jobs. We can take them in computers, presentation skills, interview topics, learning how to do an interview better, even though we have the job, the role. We can learn how to do it better. And these are all available to us online or actually going to the Disney University to take them. I'm one of the leaders of the Disney's Christian Fellowship Club. How many of you knew that in a secular company, we had a Christian fellowship company? It's the oldest club at the Walt Disney Company. We're 35 years old. We have a pastor who comes to us as often as he can. He is the pastor, associate pastor at the Calvary Chapel in Anaheim. For 25 years, he was one of our managers. And he left to go into ministry, and now, as faithfully as he can, he comes back every Wednesday and teaches us from the Bible. But the company allows me to send out an announcement every week on my computer to over 200 names. I give prayer requests, and I give a synopsis of what our lesson is going to be. I give updates on fellow cast members who are ill or suffering from cancer. And they allow me the time to do this. We've shown a series of Christian movies, and the company has provided the auditorium, the projector, without any cost. They've even allowed us to bring our families to come and watch it. We have a booth at the cast forum promoting our club, and Disney buys 2 tables at the City of Anaheim Good Friday breakfast, which, by the way, is a week from yesterday, and that is a terrific breakfast. And they buy 1 table for the executives, and they buy the other table for leaders from the Disney's Christian Fellowship Club. So care and kindness are shown to the employees of the cast in the Walt Disney Company, and this sets the example for us to do the same to our guests and to fellow cast members. And isn't this what our Christian faith has taught us from the beginning? But is it possible that when we're away from our church home, when we're away from today, when you guys all go to your homes, we either tend to forget or we discount the teaching and we set it aside as something to do and act and say because we're in church with our fellow churchgoers? Caring kindness is infectious, and others can catch it. Are you feeling any of the pixie dust yet?
Yeah.
The cast in our parks work very, very hard. If you've ever been in our parks when it's 95 or 100 degrees and you happen to be Eeyore or Baloo, it gets to be 125 degrees inside of those costumes. If you're doing the parade down Main Street and you're having to dance the entire distance from It's a Small World all the way down Main Street, that is miles when it's 100 degrees outside, even when you're bussing tables. So how do we make our cast know that they are appreciated? We are required, those of us who are backstage, during our busy season, Christmas, Easter, and the summer, to work a minimum of 2 shifts out in the park. I'd never worked in a restaurant before, but I didn't have time to train on one of the attractions, so I learned how to bus tables at Plaza Inn. A little side story, if I have time. I'll talk really fast. I was bussing the tables at Christmas time at Plaza Inn. The plates are so heavy. I'm not a youngster anymore. And I'm carrying these plates, and there's this little, two little gals walking in, and I could hear them talking. I could hear an accent. And they're looking for a place, and they're looking for a place. And I find a table for them, and I get them seated. And they were just so gracious and so nice. And one of them got up to get coffee, and the other one got up to get coffee when they were done with their food, and they came back, and their table was taken. And they were kind of standing there like, somebody took our table. So I found them another table outside and got to talking to them, and they said, you know, we went to the glory of Christmas last night. And I said, you did? Did you have a good time? And they said, oh, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And I said, you know what? I'm an elder at the Crystal Cathedral. The one little lady, she jumped up, she grabbed me, and she said, God loves you, and so do I. That was just the highlight. That made that hard work so worthwhile. But I'll tell you something. I've learned how to bus tables. I've done thousands of plates of fried chicken. I never want to see fried chicken or smell it. My clothes smelled like fried chicken. I made at least 1 million pudding parfaits. You can't tell me that I didn't make 1 million. I don't care how many 1 million is. Our president's assistant even learned the intricacies and the delicacies of cleaning the toilets after a guest had been sick. And every time she does her cross training, every time she does her shift, she does that. And what about our president? He dons white pants and a white shirt and a broom and a dustpan, and he goes out there and he cleans the streets. And he was out there one day, and a guest came up to him and asked questions, and he answered and gave them additional information, and they were just so impressed with him, and they asked him more questions, and he gave them more information, and the guest said, where is your supervisor? And Ed said, well, that's my lead over there. And he didn't know if he'd done something wrong or said something wrong. And so the guest went over to the lead and said, we want to compliment you on this young man. He was so good. He was so nice to us. And the lead told them, that's our president. But what do you think this does to our cast members who are out there sweating their off? When they see us come out from the offices, especially during a lunchtime or at a dinner time, and they see us coming out to give them a hand, what do you think that does to them? It picks them up. It makes them feel like we really do care. And at the same time, what do you think it does to us? We begin to appreciate the hard, hard work that those frontline cast members have to do every single day. Our cast company has given a carte blanche to our cast to help our guest have and do whatever is necessary to make sure that their job is that their experience is a good one. If it means replacing a drink, a spilled drink, or getting them a fresh bag of popcorn because they've spilt it, they are allowed to do that. They have carte blanche that they can do that. Sometimes in a really bad experience, sometimes the cast will make a decision to take that guest and take them backstage to get them into an attraction. Maybe something has happened. Maybe one of their party has been hurt. But they have carte blanche to make that decision on their own. What do you think that does to the cast? It gives them pride. It gives them ownership. But here's a pondering thought I had while I was putting this talk together. Here at the Crystal Cathedral, and maybe at your church, maybe we've become overly protective of the heritage that Dr. Schuller has given to us, and we begin to hoard it. We try to keep it for ourselves. We really don't want to share that heritage. Maybe not even share it with newcomers, because they might try and take ownership of it. At Disney, we instill the heritage. We ingrain it in each and every cast member who is hired, and we try to cram this knowledge down their throats from day one, because we know that if the heritage and the traditions become important, then pride will follow, and with pride, you have guest service. I want to pass around a little pamphlet that I put together. I'm not very good at this. This is my very first pamphlet I ever put together. But I wanted to give you some of Walt Disney's famous quotes. I thought you might enjoy that. But there's actually, on the very back section, there's three sections on this page. And you don't have to do this now, but I want you to look at it. In the first section, I want you to list the neighbors who live on each side of you, not who's sitting next to you here. The neighbor who lives on each side of you at your home. And I want you to put down their names, not just the guy that you don't really know. I want you to put their names down. And the neighbor who lives behind you as well. And in the next section, there's two lines, and I want you to put down maybe your janitor at your office or your place of business, their names. Not the guy that has dark hair and dark eyes, but his name. Or maybe you don't have an office, so how about the guy that does your lawn? Do you know his name? Do you know what his partner's name is? And then down at the bottom is one entire week of care and kindness. So there's a happy face, an accepting face, and a sad face, one for each day of the week. So take this home with you and put a circle around the happy face for each day that you know you have treated everyone, including your spouse and your kids, with care and kindness. And if you didn't do it 100%, maybe you did it 50%, and so your face isn't sad, but it's not happy. Remember that your family counts too. If you can do this successfully, maybe I should give you a referral card and get you a job at Disneyland. But actually, in being able to complete this and filling in all of those blanks, then you are truly one of Dr. Jim Cox's disciples. But more important than that, if you can do this, if you can list your neighbors because you've taken the time to know them, if you can list your janitor or your gardener or someone that maybe you might not know their name, if you can put down happy faces for every day of the week, you're a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been fortunate to work for a company like Disney for over 19 years. and there are few people in this world who can say that the intrinsic values they were given in their Christian home was enhanced and enlarged by the company that they worked for. I can say that. Care and kindness is infectious and everyone can catch it. In 1955, one man wanted to create a place that was clean and beautiful, a place for families to go, to have memories, have a good time. And he succeeded beyond what even his wildest imagination could conceive of. And in 1955, another man wanted to create a place that people from around the world would find peace and would find faith through possibilities. And he also succeeded beyond what he could ever have imagined. And fortunately, he lived long enough to actually see it and see it keep going. You know, there's a simple phrase. This is your cue, Barbara. This is your cue, husband. There's a simple phrase taken from the movie Peter Pan that I want to leave you with. And it says a great deal about taking risks, believing in yourself, and making things happen. So I leave you with this quote from Peter Pan: faith, trust, and a little bit of pixie dust.